the school pickup, for the early run home, for the still stuck at work. Welcome. This is the Rush Hour with Lisa and Pete. Perth's Mix 94.5.
Shonky Awards are out today, and we're joined by Erin Turner from choice.com.au to go through them. Hello, Erin.
Hello.
Hello, Erin. This is one of the biggest days on the Choice calendar, really, isn't it? The awarding of the Shonkies.
That's right. It's our annual naming and shaming festival.
And we love it.
Oh, it's a lot of fun, but also really serious. These are products that are unsafe, shouldn't be on shelves, and companies that really deserve a shaming.
Oh, totally.
Can I bring up the first one? Because to see this brand on here really surprised me, considering how well-regarded the brand is. And that is KitchenAid and their two-slice toaster.
We were shocked with this one. So this is a toaster that delivers warm bread. And when our testers looked at it, they thought it was a faulty model. They went out and bought not another one, but another two models. Just
really?
Check. Yeah, we bought three in total. And all three of these KitchenAid toasters could not deliver real toast.
I mean, you've got one thing to do.
One job.
And
you're just going to make
$159. It's an expensive way to get toast.
So, Erin, is that turning it all the way up as well to see if you could just get something out of it?
That is maximum settings.
That's insane.
How did they get past the keeper? Yeah. I mean, that's just insane. Oh, well, that's disappointing. Kellogg's, they do sort of score a Guernsey quite often. This time it's the Nutri-Grain Banana and Honey Smash Protein Squeezer.
This company is repeat offenders for health washing. They're promising the world. It's lots of protein, great for breakfast.
Yep.
This thing has three times more sugar than protein, and it is not a great way to start the day.
This one blows me away because I fail to see how it can actually get on shelves, considering that 60 of them failed to meet minimum safety standards for Australia. We're talking porta-cots here.
That's right. Now, this is one of our big serious categories.
Yes.
Most of the porta-cots out on the market, Choice does not recommend. There's issues with suffocation, limb entrapment, mattresses that are too soft, that are really risky to babies. Now, we think it's not just that these brands need to be pulled off shelves. We need stronger laws.
Yes.
We want companies to be able to say, yeah, our products meet basic safety standards before they sell them.
This is why the Shonkies are so important, really, as you said, on the serious note when you out things like that. Mm. But then at the other end of the extreme, you've got the old magnetic therapy devices. Some people would suggest that people who buy magnets thinking that they're going to be, you know, the cure-all are perhaps asking for it.
Look, this is classic snake oil salesman behavior. What really worries us about this, it's available across pharmacies, across a lot of small stores in Australia, and they promise the world, helping with arthritis, headaches, and people who are sick can really be taken advantage of with these products.
Of course, you want a cure.
Exactly. If you're in pain, you'll try
anything.
Absolutely. Now, there are a whole host of other really big name brands that are on this list, so we implore you to go to choice.com.au if you want to check them out. And just quietly, you know, I don't think you need Choice to tell you that if you see timeshare on something, come on.
Run.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's right.
Erin Turner, we appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Erin.
Thank you.
It's the Rush Hour with Lisa and Pete.
Roadies, the secret history of Australian rock and roll. It's a book by Stuart Coop, published by Hatchet Australia. And Stuart joins us on the line now. Thank you for being on the Rush Hour, mate.
Lisa, Pete, my pleasure.
Stuart Coop, the name is a name that's pretty synonymous with the Australian music industry. You've been around a while. You've seen a bit. I've been there with you, so don't worry. I'm not giving away our age. But this is just such a great read, The Secret History of Australian Rock and Roll Through the Roadies. How hard was it to get roadies to spill the beans to you?
Pretty hard. They tend to only talk to themselves unless a band or an artist really annoys them, because they are the custodians of all secrets.
Yes.
Look, when I decided to write the book, I did what you need to do. It's like if you're going to be in The Sopranos, you go to Tony Soprano. You go right to the top. Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I went to the made guys. I went to Howard Freeman and Scrooge Madigan, you know, who are in their late 60s, early 70s, still working. And I was lucky enough to gain their confidence. And then after that, whenever someone said, oh, I'm not sure I want to talk to you, I went, well, Howard's talked to me. Scrooge's talked to me. Yogi's talked to me. Bear's talked to me. There are roadies called Yogi and Bear. They are two different people. And if Yogi and Bear are talking to you, it's okay.
So these roadies, did you have to go far and wide across the country to go and find them?
You know, I found a bunch of them up on the Gold Coast. A terrific guy living in Perth. He's got a school setting up to train would-be roadies in the, you know, the whole logistics and the mechanics and what's required. So I went out to track down the really key figures in the roadie world.
Well, AC/DC's in the book. What are some of the other bands that are, what do they say, bump in and bump out? Is that how it goes?
That's basically taking the gear in and taking it out.
Yep.
So they, of course, have worked with AC/DC, INXS, Cold Chisel. Elvis Presley had an Australian sound guy.
Get
then
out.
Went on to work with Bruce Springsteen.
Wow.
Australian crew are revered around the world.
Well, this is the thing. You wouldn't want a precious roadie, would you? So this is why Australians would be great.
There's a few prima donnas. They're not immune to rock star tantrums and carry on.
Stuart, you mentioned Tony Soprano. He didn't get to where he got to without a few skeletons in the closet along the way. Can you share some of the stuff that they revealed, maybe some of the real hard talent that some of them worked for?
Look, my favourite story in the book was about the roadies who were worried that Bon Scott was going to come to serious grief on his motorbike because, you know, alcohol, Bon Scott and motorbikes go well together.
Mm.
So the road crew, whenever he was about to go out on tour, they'd accidentally steal his motorbike. And they would hide it in a garage behind some PA equipment until Bon came back from the tour. And, you know, this happened about four times. He'd go, "You guys are great. Every time my bike gets stolen, you seem to be able to find it for me." And then the fifth time, they nicked the bike again and they hit it. And Bon comes in. He goes, "You're not going to believe this, but the bike's been stolen again." But he said, "I'm not worried because you guys, you know, everyone, you're going to get it back for me. So I'm relaxed. It'll be back there when I get back from tour."
Tough
love. And lo and behold, the bike was back. Yeah. So, you know, I love those stories.
Yeah.
Well, there's plenty of them to be had in this. The book is out now. It's called Roadies, The Secret History of Australian Rock and Roll. Go out and get yourself a copy. Stuart Coop, thanks for your time, mate. Appreciate it.
It's a pleasure.
Pete and Lisa, thanks so much.
The Rush Hour with Lisa and Pete.
Where'd you leave the kids? This off the back of a family's unfortunate holiday scenario where the parents went in two separate cars home and it was a case of, "I thought she was with you."
I thought she was with you.
We got Maureen in Shoalwater. Where'd you leave the kids?
It was my son, and it's 40 years ago when I lived in England, in the days that you used to push them round in big prams.
Yeah.
And I walked down to the butcher's, and you've got to remember I was lacking in so much sleep.
Yes.
And I went in the butcher's, and I got me pieces, and I walked right past the pram, and I thought, I've forgotten something.
I feel light.
I must have forgotten something.
The chops?
And I got halfway home and realised it was the baby.
Oh, my God.
So what happened when you turned around and ran back there?
Well, I didn't. Like I said, I was so lacking in sleep that I run home, and we didn't have mobile phones then, so I filmed the butchers from home, and I was in tears, and I'm saying, "I've left my son outside your shop. Please look out."
He knew nothing, of course. He was just in his pram fine.
He was fast asleep, and the butcher, when I got back, the butcher was laughing, and everybody in the store was laughing, and he said,
course,
"He's been fast asleep the whole time."
Oh, my God.
That is fabulous, Maureen.
Thanks, Maureen.
Thank you so much. Jasmine in Mora, where'd you leave the kids?
He left him somewhere where you'd naturally think he's safe, at his grandmother's house.
Yes.
And my partner and I went out, so he stayed at his nanny's house, and she actually forgot she was babysitting.
Uh-oh.
So she's got bushland out the back of her property, and she used to raise kangaroos, so she takes the kangaroos out for a walk and all this la-di-da stuff, comes back, pitter-potters in the garden. 4 hours later, I'm not even kidding, when one of her mates came around with kids, she was like, "Oh, no, I'm looking after a kid."
Oh, my God, that is insane.
How old was said kid?
He was nearly two at the time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so he's almost up and about as well.
Old enough to get about,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So, he was actually in the same spot where we left him watching TV. Oh. But he'd done an accident on her favourite sofa.
Well, sounds like it was karma.
She probably sucked that up, yeah.
David Kelpscott, where'd you leave the kids, mate?
In the hospital when she was first born.
Oh.
Oh, this is gold. Well, how does that even happen?
Well,
not into the swing of it yet.
No, exactly. First child, I said goodbye, loaded the car, said goodbye to all the nurses at Gosnells Family Hospital, got in the car, drove out on Albany Highway, both turned around in awe and went, oh, isn't she beautiful? Oh, she's not there. And she drove back and there she was in that little bassinet still on the bed.
I was so caught up in the moment. Yeah. That is hilarious.
Oh, mate, yeah. Nice one.
And she looked across between a pickle prune and a Shar Pei puppy as well at the same time.
With you from 3 p.m. weekdays, it's The Rush Hour with Lisa and Pete on Perth's Mix 94.5.